A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Sunday, 29 August 2021. We have completed the earlier book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. So from now onward, all our Sunday class, we will move on to a new series of transcript book, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutras. We start with second lesson, because of all the sutra that we went through, we only transcribed some of the book. We didn't transcribe all the books. So for those who wants to read up on their own or listen to all the audio file, you can. You go to the website, brotherteo.com, then you can look for it. But it's not in transcript book form. So it's not so easy for you to follow. But if you have the interest, if you have the sadha virya and you want to understand, you should listen, because they are very good teachings. We base it on the commentaries of Master Xuanhua. So that was from this book, The Six Patriarch Platform Sutra commentary by Master Xuanhua. Okay, we will be starting with this new series, the yellow book with the Six Patriarch Sutra, with the Six Patriarch image in front. This is the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra series that we are going to base on. We only use the transcript book starting with lesson two, second lesson. This one is about 6+ years ago. It was delivered on the 21st of June, 2015. Now it's already 2021. 6+ years. We are end of August already. So 6 years, 2 months. Okay. We were on the digital copy for you. So for those who don't have the hard copy, you can later get it from either my site or Brother Suyan there, or Sister Padma Suri, or any of the Kayamita who has extra copy. So this second lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra was delivered on the 21st of June 2015, 6 years ago, at Wu Ping Jingse, Miss Lee's center, section 11. So the late Po Yen Sang Lao center, Vihana. Okay, so I will straight away zoom in to the next page. The next page is a photo of what we took from the Six Patriarch temple in I forgot the place already. This one was taken while we were on the spiritual trip. It was a very beautiful image which they already painted in gold, and it's very nicely done. Liu Zhu Hui Neng Pu Sa. Then the next page is the content. So under the content, I will just read through quickly. We have the preface after I go through and acknowledgement. Then second lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutra dated 2nd July 2015. Then we have our puja session as usual at the Wu Ping Jingse, where I combine Mahayana followed by Theravada tradition type of puja. Where we do all the salutation to the great beings to establish affinity. Then later on, when we cross over to the Theravada, we recite the Namotasa following Sakyamuni Buddha's tradition. Then after that, we chant the salutation. take the three refuges and renew our precepts. Then sometimes we also do the offering that follow the chanting book. It depends on the condition. Then after that, the Dhamma sharing part by me, Virgil. The first section is on Tipitaka Master Hua's introduction. So this is Master Xuanhua Sangren, who is also the late refuge teacher of mine. My whole family took refuge under him. Master Xuanhua has great affinity with my nature too. So in the early years, 1986, when I started my cultivations seriously, he was the first master that I met. Then I decided to take refuge. Before that, I had two encounters with him when I was in the university studying. And because of affinity, every time he come, I somehow had condition to meet up with him and attend his sharing. Especially in University of Malaya, when I was in my second year, I remember, 1976 to 77, he came. And it was in one of the lecture theater, I think, economics faculty there, where I was there. And I was given these notes, the cycle style printed notes at that time. Yeah, during the 70s, that was very popular, cycle style. We don't have photo stamp machine. We need to type out the what they call, for you to do the cycle style, you need to type it out first on a certain type of material, which is not easy. But those were the thing we used. Even that time when I was working, my secretary also used that to type, and after that we put it on the cycle style machine to print out all the print copy. Then when I received that stack of notes, there was so much joy because I started to understand the patriarchship that came all the way from Sakyamuni Buddha until China. And how it ended up finally is Xu Yin Lao He Sang. And from Xu Yin Lao He Sang, it came down to Master Xuanhua. So there were a lot of very interesting encounters, and there was joy. Then that time, I don't know what really Mahayana was, but my nature has affinity, and it is just zoom in and love that type of encounter. Then I started listening, following, and I have a lot of interest in the Dhamma that he shared, although it was spoken in Mandarin, the original authentic China Mandarin, not easy to comprehend, but because it was Dhamma, I can comprehend most of them. So that's how it all started. Then in 1986 or end of 86 or somewhere around there, I met another person, a young I don't know how you call him, a young executive who came to University of Malaya to market the product that his father was marketing, the tennis court surface and all things. Then I get to know him, then he saw my hand has a yellow string. That's how it all started. Then he asked me, are you a Buddhist? I say, yes. Oh, I will give you a book, he said. So I thought it was a Dhamma book. So I said, okay, good, sadhu. So I thought he will send the next time he see me. Surprisingly, that morning I met him, afternoon he came back and gave me the book. It was a photostat copy, English translation of Surangama Sutta. And I haven't heard of Surangama Sutta, Leng Yanqing. But when I read it, I was full of joy. I realized this was the first copy of the Surangama Sutta translated to English at that time available. Then I was so surprised. The next time I met him, I said, I need to talk to you. He said, yes, Bertil. We can, after meet at your office, then we can have our discussion. I said, the book is very interesting. I said, where do you get them? Or is it, I used to be the kapia of Master Chen Ho. But that really shocked me. Then I say, oh, no wonder. That type of affinity is very rare. And you cannot really perceive who he was when you met him. He was a young executive, 20, 22 or 21 years old, very young. But never before can you believe he was a copy of Master Shen. Then I say, how you end up there? He said, when he was young, his affinity with Mahayana teaching, and he came to know Shen Hua when somebody introduced him, and he followed him and he served under him, and he was with Master Shen Hua many years, especially after Master Shen Hua went over to the United States, won fortune in, I think, state of California. Then during that time, he told me his father was already quite old. He wanted to pass over the business to him, but he was the eldest son. Then the rest daughters. So the father appealed to him until finally he, I think, discussed with Master Shen Hua, and Master Shen Hua advised him, you have to respect your father, fellow piety, or you do your duty, then when the time comes, you can come back. So that's what he did. Then he told me that was the story. That's how everything happened for a reason, and it was very strange. So because of that, all this starts to unfold. The Mahayana teaching came, and that was immediately after the message from Kuan Yin, 1986. That's why I said, you won't believe. Immediately after that, when I knew the message, you had to move fast, not much time left. I really moved. But strangely, the teacher come, the guy come, the book come, everything come. 86, 87, 88, 89, that 3 years. Everything happened. So that was how all this teaching become meaningful and beautiful. So with this introduction, I will go back to the content. We will continue. Then after that, we have the Dhamma sharing. Then 3.2.1 was Tipitaka Master Hua's introduction, followed by translator's introduction, then the patriarchy lineage, followed by forward by Master Xuan Hua. Then we have the official introduction to the sixth patriarch platform sutta. So that is the container. Now I will go through the bio data with you. For those who may not know me, you can pay attention. This is my short bio data. Bertil graduated from University of Malaya in civil engineering in the year 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner, calm meditator, since 1971, at the age of 17. Since his retirement in the year 2001, that time I was about 46 plus years old, from his engineering career. He has been sharing his understanding and experience with those who are keen in their search for true peace, happiness, and liberation from birth and death, and from all mental sufferings, so that they can be a blessing to all of humanity. We are becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being. He gives Dhamma talks and whole meditation classes and retreat and weekly Dhamma sessions at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invite him. For more detail of Bratio's Dhamma activity and his Kayamita ships groupings objective, please log on to his Dhamma website at http://bratio.com. Then we go to the preface. It is Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioner, seekers, truth, and cultivator will be able to make use of these enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. So this is my sincere wish. The reason why I came out to share and teach. So hopefully people can develop the understanding, the appropriate understanding. That's my nature new. This type of teaching is rare, difficult to come by. Then later on, when Maitreya Buddha came with a humble request for my nature to share this true Dhamma teaching and understanding in the year 2008, that was the accumulation of my sincere intent to deliver all this. And after that, a lot of things happened, because after 2008, many things happened. Actually, before that, my nature knew there was a sign that it is time for my nature to come out to share. I was ready in the year 1989, but for 15 years, not until 2004, I didn't do anything. I just lie low. Until appropriate causes and conditions. So all this has its causes and conditions, and they arise. So even after 6+ years, now we go through the transcript note, you start to understand what are the things that I share at that time. Because at that time, a lot of the Kayamita, they are still very new, very conditioned. They don't know what I was teaching, I was sharing. Except maybe very few, one or two who may know a bit, but not really. Until later part. But these were the causes and conditions that was needed. That's why looking back with the transcript, now we go through, you will understand much better, especially those who had been with me for quite a while, since the year 2008 onwards. There are some before that, like Yun Chan, they are 2004, they already with me. But Subang Sai and Sui An, they came, I think 2006 or 7, I think. Then 2008, a lot of things happened. Okay, I'll read on. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recordings of the second lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class dated 21st June 2015, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in the talk. However, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves Accordingly, to better understand its true meaning and intent, a good way to do this is to listen to the recording first. Before reading the transcript notes, to listen to the recording, the audio file, you can log on to our brotherduo.com website under repository of Dhamma material, or just Google Brother Duo Skayamita, a repository of Dhamma material to view them, or alternatively download the audio file via this MP3 audio link. So hopefully this link is still valid because it's been updated in the website. If you have problem, you can maybe let some Kayamita know, then they will pass on the message to us, then we will get it rectified. Or we will guide you where to go to listen to all the audio recording. Then there is this acknowledgement that we would like to express, because many Kayamitas, they help out in one way or other to make this book possible. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Dhamma transcript notes be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends and Kayamita who had donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc., to make this free distribution of the Madana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister S.K. Hong, or Hong Shuet Quinn, who had taken the initiative to volunteer to develop the draft transcript for my subsequent editing, thereby enabling this Dhamma transcript to be printed. So regarding this Sister S.K. Hong or Hong Shuet Quinn, I would like to explain a little bit and let Kayamita know, because it was mainly her. Actually, I don't know her. She suddenly appeared in Wu Pingxingshe when we were about to start our 6 Patreon platform sooner. Then I heard from Miss Lee that she is from Singapore. At that time, I didn't know why she was there and how come she was there. And she expressed great interest in listening to my talk, my sharing. Then she found it so meaningful, so beautiful. She immediately volunteered to do up the transcript for me. And she did it so diligently, almost one after another. Then later on, I came to know actually she had this health problem. She was down with cancer fighting. But I didn't know initially, but she also didn't reveal to us, and we also didn't really know until later. Much later, I think after we have done quite a number of the transcript book by her, then suddenly I received an email, I think from the sister, telling me what happened and thanked me. He said the last stretch of the sister's life was the most beautiful. She was very determined on looking forward to understand this teaching, not until she met me and heard from my teaching. She was down here in Malaysia not long, but they attended maybe a few sessions. Then when she was back in Singapore, she diligently listened to the sharing, then volunteer to do the transcript. That's how all this become possible. It was because of her. And she shared many things with me too, as she wrote to me and all those things. And they were so beautiful. It touched her heart. And we should actually thank her for all the great, sincere, and beautiful effort in contributing her part in her own way. And I told her, you will be beautiful. Whatever happened, just let things be. What she has done over the last stretch of her life, contributing such beautiful Dhamma transcript and sharing, was most beautiful. And it will help her a lot in fulfilling her sincere, pure and noble wishes. So all this is a little bit of history behind so that people understand. So let us thank her in the usual way by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we wish Sister Hong Shui Queen all the best and the and may the blessing of the Triple Gem be always with her in whatever rhyme or existence she may be. And may she be well, happy and peaceful always. And may she continue this great path of Dhamma training in the Bodhisattva way. Okay, I will read on. Then we have the power of merits. By the power of all this wholesomeness or merits, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering and dangers. And may there be love, peace and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dhamma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration soon as possible. With metta always present to you. So this one, when we printed it was already September 2017, that's why it's dated 30th September 2017. Okay, now we will go on to the former Dhamma sharing. Second lesson of 6 Patriarch Black Pole Sutta, dated 21st June 2015. I will read according to the transcript. A very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We are still early. We have 1 more minute to go before we start at 3 p.m. So at that time, Wu Pingqing said we also start at 3 p.m. Can anybody remember which page we were at when we end last Sunday? We finished Romanized page 20. So we are at Romanized page 21. This is Tipitaka Master Shen Hua's introduction. Oh, today is Father's Day, so 21st June was Father's Day. So some of you may want to stop the class earlier. No problem. We can stop at 5 p.m. or 5:30 latest. We will see how it goes. If you need to leave early, you can, no problem. If you have any prior arrangement, you can go first because it's an important occasion. And you need to meet up with your family members, you better go. We also would like to take this opportunity to wish every father a very happy Father's Day. If as a father, you do your duty well, then your children will remember you for all the sacrifice, love and wholesomeness that you have given them. So this one also applies to mothers. So if you do your duty means you are able to sacrifice for your children to develop the love and wholesomeness that you have given them, provided for them everything that a parent can really sacrifice, provide and care. That's why all this is what parents are for. So when you understand all this as children, we should have gratitude towards our parents. And how can we repay our parents? It's not easy. And according to Sakyamuni Buddha, the best way is to let them learn the Dhamma. But if your parents already have the Dhamma, then it's a joyous occasion because you don't have to do that. You only need to support the activity and rejoice with them and learn from them. Okay, I'll read on. So if you do your duty well, you will have a good Father's Day. If you don't do your duty well, then Father's Day may not have much meaning. True or not? If you have done your duty well, your children will remember you. And they will really thank you in whatever way on such an occasion, such as Father's Day. So most people arrange quite a lot of surprises for their parents, right, during Father's Day and Mother's Day. Then they will gather and have a meal. Then maybe they will gather after the meal to be at home to celebrate Father's Day. And on such occasion, to recall how their parents have actually raised them, provide for them, give them all the education, all the important guidance, advice in life, and also sacrifice for them by taking care of them when they are sick, or when they need parents to attend to them, their education, their career, their upbringing. All this requires a lot of parental support, sacrifice, and care. It's not easy to have the condition to perform your duty well and to become responsible, good parents. These are very important Dhamma understanding. I have a teacher, my Thai teacher, Prachayantra. He actually described it very well. He said, right duty is right Dhamma. In Thai, he always say, right duty is right Dhamma. Dhamma is Dhamma in Thai. So if you can develop the understanding to perform your duty towards whoever in this world, maybe your children, or towards your parents, friends, neighbors, colleagues, brothers, sisters, and all those that you have relationship with, or people whom you encounter, that is right duty. And right duty is right Dhamma. When you perform your duty appropriately, correctly, with wholesomeness, understanding, love, compassion, and virtue, you have the Dhamma. Otherwise, you become heedless, deluded, and you will commit a lot of wrong things. Means you neglect your duty. When you neglect your duty, you go against the normal way, you will meet with karmic negativity, affliction. Your life will become affected. So this is what right duty is all about. So bear in mind, perform your duty well while you are a human being. Okay, we go to 3.1 puja. We can start the puja now. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, various spiritual zeal, then pay respect mindfully to the great beings while we chant the salutation. We will chant the Mahayana tradition first. Namo Bun Si Si Chia Moni Fo, like what we did just now, three times, followed by Namo Guan Si Yin Pusa, three times, then the other great beings. Then finally, Namo Fo Pusa. Salutation to the Triple Gem. After that, Buddha Dhamma Sangha we take refuge following Theravada tradition. That's why we chant the salutation to Sakyamuni Buddha, our Lord Buddha. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. The meaning is homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened one. Then we take the three refuges. Buddhang saranang gacchami means to the Buddha, I go for my refuge. Then to the Dhamma, I go for my refuge. To the Sangha, I go for my refuge. Then to Tiyampi is for the second time. I go to the Buddha for my refuge. Repeat for Dhamma and Sangha. Then Tatiyampi is for the third time. I go to the Buddha for refuge. To the Dhamma for refuge. To the Sangha for refuge. And after that, we renew our precept, Panchasila. So renewing our precept is very important. Panatipata virmani sikapada samadhi yami. So this is to undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Then the second precept is abstain from stealing or taking things that don't belong to us. Then the third one is we undertake the training rule to abstain from sexual misconduct. Then the fourth precept is we undertake the training rule to abstain from lying. Then finally is we undertake the training rule to abstain from partaking drugs, intoxicants, and whatever that can cause our consciousness to become heedless, to go the wrong way. Then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So that's how we finish our puja. Then after that we start. Now let us pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Sakyamuni Buddha, and all the other great beings that are worthy of respect, and also the triple gem to end the pre-puja. So we chant Buddhang Puchemi, like what we did just now, Dhammang Puchemi, and Sanghang Puchemi. Then the actual Dhamma sharing by me, 3.2. Okay, you all can be seated. Please turn to page Romanized 21. Dipitaka Master Hua's introduction. All of the suttas or sutras are guide for us to use in cultivating the way. So bear in mind this one. It is like the finger pointing at the moon. So these are like signposts. They are only guide. Sutta are guide for us to use in cultivating the way, because it's like pointing towards the truth for us to awaken. But the sutra is not that Dhamma. The Dhamma is different, because when you awaken through penetrating the Dhamma. But the suttas are words. Words that point towards the truth. Description of truth. So words and concept are skillful means that we make use of to communicate, to share, to describe. That's why we use thought. And all this we call in Mandarin, 文字, words. They are not the truth. The truth is beyond. That's why they are all guide for us to use in cultivating the way in the Dhamma. Then I continue. This is a very important understanding. Do you know why it is a guide? It's like a pointer. Here I explain again. Pointing towards the Dhamma, the truth. But the sutra itself is not the truth. Just like if you want to realize Nibbana, that realization is not the word Nibbana. It is also not the idea or concept of enlightenment. It is the actual realization. So whatever word you use to describe Nibbana are just words. And all the Dhamma points towards enlightenment. They are just similar to the finger pointing to the moon. Do you understand? When the finger points to the moon, it tells you that it's the moon, which you have to realize. But the Dhamma that points towards the enlightenment is just like the finger. So to see the moon or to realize the moon, you must graze or gaze beyond that finger. That's why you must go beyond thought, beyond words, beyond 文字. There are three phases of Dhamma cultivation according to Lord Buddha. Phase one is Pariyatti, where you develop the learning of the teachings. Then you develop the learning and understanding of the teachings of the Dhamma we are hearing and reading. So this is learning, Pariyatti. When you learn, you develop knowledge or partial understanding of what the teaching is. But you cannot leave it as yet, because it is still at the knowledge level. You know you cannot do certain wrong and evil things, but your deluded mind can still condition you to do it. So the first stage is always like that. You know keeping the precept is important, but some people can't. They keep on breaking the precept, or they find it very difficult to keep to the precepts. So knowing and not having the ability to do it is the first phase that most cultivators have to go through, where there is knowledge at the thought level, not at the wisdom level yet. It's just like the precepts. You have learned about their importance via right view. You know precepts are very important because they support our cultivation. That's the reason why when we chant them in Pali, when they administer those precepts to you towards the end, you will be reminded on the importance of keeping this precept. If it is the five precepts, they will chant, Imani Panchasika Padani. If it is the eight precepts, they will chant, Imani Attasika Padani. So these are the five precepts. Or these are the eight precepts, then they will emphasize to you the importance of precept we are chanting. Silena sukhantin yanti. The meaning is very important and very deep. So this sila or precepts or virtue, if you cultivate them, it will bring about happiness. Sukhantin yanti is happiness or joy. Hence, keeping precepts or virtue is a source of happiness or joy, spiritual joy, sukhanting yanti. It comes from the word sukhang, meaning happiness, source of happiness. The next benefit of keeping precept or virtue is silena bhoga sampada. The meaning is keeping precepts or virtue is a source of spiritual wealth. Then the third benefit is silena nibbanting yanti. Nibbanting is peacefulness. Keeping virtue or precept is a source of peacefulness of mind. So you have happiness and joy. You have spiritual wealth and you have peacefulness of mind. These are the great benefits of keeping precepts. That's why all meditation start with keeping precepts. Without precepts, you will not have speed, you will not have peacefulness of mind, you will not have joy, you will not encounter the spiritual wealth. Then how can you progress? How can you cultivate? That's why all cultivation start with sila, precepts. If you don't keep precept, you will not have the condition to have a peaceful mind, a happy mind, and a mind that has the ability to receive the Dhamma, source of spiritual wealth. This will remind you of the importance of precepts, because without precepts as a base, it is very difficult to develop the meditation, the mind state leading to samadhi. That's the reason why the Buddha lists the cultivation in the order of sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila is precept. Without precept, you cannot prepare your mind to meditate, because the mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner mindfulness or awareness are very powerful. When the mental hindrance are there, when the mental hindrance are at bay, it means you already have the spiritual faculties. Without the spiritual faculty, you cannot keep your precepts. You must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, leading to the understanding of the importance of this teaching, of his teaching. Then there is the spiritual zeal, virya, that drives you to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, to understand his teaching, because it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. Hence, no more suffering. With this understanding, the virya will be very strong. Then you are determined to go this way to cultivate the Buddha Dharma. That's how you will start to train your mind to have sati or mindfulness, which is the third spiritual faculty. Because without sati or mindfulness, you cannot see your mental intention. Hence, you cannot keep your precept, because you cannot identify the evil roots, and you cannot check whether your spiritual faculties are there or not, and you can't even know whether the mental hindrance are active or not, because you are heedlessly lost in thought. You don't have mindfulness or heedfulness to be sensitive. So training your mind to be mindful is the most important in cultivation. If you are not mindful, you are heedless. And the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. No chance at all to develop the spiritual understanding and to live the spiritual life of wisdom, peacefulness, joy, and happiness. There is a reason why sila is very important. Once sila is in place, you will have fewer problems, less fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, and misery. Then your mind will have more peace and you are happier. That's why precepts are the source of happiness, source of peacefulness of mind, and source of spiritual wealth. All this will fall into place, and the mind that is peaceful with clarity can see things as they are clearly. That's how you can develop the meditation well. As you develop the ability to keep your precepts, the samadhi power factor, which are sati and samadhi, or what they call power factors of sati, or mindfulness and samadhi. Samadhi is a collected and unwavering mind. They will enable you to see things as they are clearly. A mind that has a stable sati will have samadhi. When sati and samadhi are there, there is no thought, there is only clarity. That's how you can be attentive. You can see things as they are without the words, without the conditioning, without the interpretation, the stirring of the mind, and the reaction of mind. The Buddha called this the direct seeing, seeing things as they are, or jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the truth or the reality. With that, we will continue. By now, you understand why all sutras are only guide for you to use in cultivating the way, because the sutra only consists of teaching that points towards the truth, the enlightenment, the realization of the Buddha Dharma, leading to the true awakening. The real awakening is more important than the sutra itself, because the sutra are just guide to guide you there. The other Zen analogy is that of the turtle. If you go to a Zen monastery, you will see the image of a turtle with a bundle of Tipitaka behind, wrapped around it. Living beings who are still not enlightened will laugh at the turtle. They say the turtle has been keeping and carrying the Tipitaka, Dhamma book, for so long, and yet he hasn't penetrated the truth. He is still holding on to the Tipitaka or the sutras. But then the turtle, which is wise, will laugh back at the human being. Do you know why the turtle laughed back? Give it a try. Why did the turtle laugh back at the human beings? Master Shen Hua had already given you the hint. Why did Master Shen Hua say? What did Master Shen Hua say? He said all sutras are only a guide for you to make use of to develop the cultivation. It is not the truth or enlightenment. That's why the turtle laughed back. Only living beings that are deluded think the Tipitaka is the truth, is the enlightenment. It's just a sutra pointing towards the truth. That's why the turtle laughed back. What the turtle is trying to tell you is, you cultivate Buddha Dharma to develop understanding. You don't carry the knowledge with you or attach and cling on to the Dharma knowledge that you have learned. It's just an analogy the Buddha gave. It's just like the analogy that the Buddha gave. In the olden days, in order to cross a river or a stream, you need to have a boat or a raft to take you across. So the Dhamma is like the raft that helps you cross the stream or to the other shore, which is Nibbana. After you had crossed to the other shore, having developed the realization and the enlightenment, why must you still hold on to the raft or carry the raft with you while over there? You may say, this is the Dhamma which has made me awaken. That's why I must carry it. Then you are like the Zen Master Sun Tzu. Do you know who Zen Master Sun Tzu is? He is the most senior disciple of the fifth patriarch Hongren. Sun Tzu is a Da Si Xiong, and because he still cannot understand, so he holds on to the Dhamma. To him, cultivation is that way. That's the reason why he wrote in his poem, the mind is like a mirror bright on the stand. Polish it until it shines so that no dust can align. So to him, the wholesomeness, the purity, the virtue are the right Dhamma. He holds on to those practices. That's the reason why he cannot realize the true mind, because he clings on to the duality of wholesomeness, pure mind, true mind, and right practice. This is still a one-sided duality. That's why the mind cannot cease, because he is busy polishing the mind so that no dust can align. He is busy rejecting the defilement, the asavak, and the unwholesome mind states. Such a mind cannot be free. Such a mind is busy doing a lot of things. Such a mind is still grasping, clinging, and holding on to the good aspect of Dhamma. So because of that, if you have the wisdom, you will understand all these sutras. They are like pointers pointing towards the truth. They are not the truth. They are like the raft that helps you cross the stream to realize enlightenment. You cannot cling, you cannot hold, you cannot grasp. Enlightenment has nothing to do with memory. Memory is just accumulation of the past, of the known. That's why thought arises, because thoughts are response to all these memories and experiences. Then if you use this part of the known, then if you use this past or the known to act, you are not acting at all, because you act from memory. You act from your attachment, your clinging, your craving, your delusion. These are all your conditioning, the accumulation of experiences that you have developed over time. In the Mahayana tradition, its Four Noble Truths teaching differ slightly from those of the Theravada tradition. They have changed their Second Noble Truth to accumulation as the cause of suffering, instead of using the word craving. In the Second Noble Truth of the Theravada tradition, we always come across the word samudaya. What is samudaya? It is the cause of arising of suffering, but they change it to accumulation, qi. Actually, they are not wrong. Regarding the First Noble Truth, the Buddha just proclaimed the First Noble Truth of suffering. We are just saying in this world, there are eight realities of life and existence that each and every living being, if they live long enough, they have to confront them. When they confront them without wisdom, suffering will be the result. That is the first noble truth of suffering or dukkha. Then the Buddha moved on to explain the second noble truth. He said there is a second noble truth that explains clearly the cause of arising of suffering. How do all this suffering comes to be? It is mainly due to your craving, born of delusion. But the Mahayana never used this word, samudaya, or cause of arising or suffering. They said suffering arises because of accumulation, chi. So to them, the second noble truth is, the cause of arising or suffering is accumulation. If you accumulate all these experiences as memory, it means you are holding on and clinging on to them in your memory. Due to your delusion, it will condition you to grasp, cling, and hold on to them. Yeah, when you accumulate all of your life experiences, good or bad, what actually happened? You will give rise to the wrong thought because more often than not, you will accumulate more of your scars of memory, things that make you unhappy, like your various type of phobias, child abuses, etc. And you hold on to them because there is a lot of fear, sorrow, and lamentation when you confront these memories. Similarly, you have memories of how people torture or torment you, take advantage of you, cause you much fear, sorrow, and lamentation, how they deceive you, mistreat you, and do all those evil or negative thing out to you. Whereas your happy moment, unless you have good karma, you don't have much to recall because you lack contentment. You may recall only once a while how your parents reward you when you do well in your exam or when you behave very well. Then during the early years, if you come from a poor family, you will recall all the harsh and difficult moments. Then suddenly when those conditions improve and you become well off, you can recall all the joyful moments of striving coming back to you. But whatever it is, these are memories of your experiences. And when you accumulate them, what happens? You create reality. Whatever experience you don't like will condition your fear and your phobia. You will have this negative interpretation of them. That's how you create this unhappiness and fear towards them, and what we call the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Hatreds are emotional negativities. Delusion and negative tendencies are one side of the duality. The other side is what you hold on to as memory of your good moments, etc. That is why when you accumulate all this and you come out with your views and opinion on what is good for you and what is bad for you, or what is favorable and unfavorable, what is pleasant and unpleasant, your mind develops a view of dualities. When you come out to live life and you act according to those memories, what will happen? Those memories will remind you of all the fear, worry, anxiety, and insecurity, how people cheat you and how you were deceived by others, and how sometimes you also deceive others, etc. All these are accumulated memories. So whenever you see something or hear something while living life, you will recall this memory. Then you will act according to what this memory tell you. Oh, this guy, the last time he cheated me before. And you may recall from memory, this guy is up to no good. Then like snatch thief, the moment you hear the motorbike sound, there is fear via memory that reminds you, maybe it's a snatch thief again. So you act out of fear, out of anxiety, out of sorrow and lamentation, out of stupidity and ignorance. Sometimes you may have certain type of sense experience arising. Then you compare them with those in your memory. They are saying, the last time when I was there, it was more beautiful. The food were better. But now the food there is not as nice as before. Then what happened? Your like and dislike arise because you measure, you judge, you comment, you react, and all these are attachment, craving, and clinging, which are the cause of suffering. That's why accumulation indirectly is attachment, clinging, and grasping, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you don't have delusion, you will not accumulate. You will not attach or cling. Memory is for you to use, not to register all your psychological fear, all your psychological emotional negativity. These are the ones that make you recall your scars of memory, thus reminding you of the unhappy moments and sorrowful moments and insecurity, the fear and the danger, etc. So if you act with that type of mind, you are not acting at all because you are acting from memory, which is the past. And because of that, you are acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lamentation, and your phobia, etc. That is not acting at all. What you should do is to act based on your Dhamma understanding or wisdom. When you see something, do not allow memory to interfere. You just check with your nature, which may already have the understanding. If there is understanding, you will act appropriately. You will not act out of fear, out of insecurity. Instead, you will act out of love, out of understanding. You maintain your virtue. You are following Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then you will act according to Noble Eightfold Path to resolve things amicably. Hence, no more fear, no more sakyadity, self-delusion, jealousy, envy, and selfishness. You act based on understanding means according to reality. For things are just the way they are, and people are just the way they are too. You learn to accept them for what they are. Then you are at peace. Then you can act with wholesomeness via inquiry. How can I resolve this amicably? How can I be a blessing to others so that they can improve their life? So that we can avoid unnecessary argument, conflict, and misunderstanding, so that we can resolve all issues amicably, thereby reducing any unnecessary tension or misunderstanding that may arise or erupt. This is what the Dhamma is capable of when you understand. This will bring us back to this particular topic regarding the sutras. We shall come back to page 21. Whereas Jianhua said, all sutras are only guide to be used in cultivation or cultivating the way. However, by now, your understanding is better. Oh, sorry. Hopefully by now, your understanding is better. Okay, I think we stop here. Huh? We will continue after the 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Huh? We are at 3.2. Point one, page 15. We will stop here. Okay, we will off the light, and we can have our 45 minutes of awareness based meditation. I will set the alarm now. Okay? So just relax body and mind. Maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Stabilize the awareness nature within. Okay? Then use it to meditate. For those who really know how to meditate, you can stay at the heart area and trust your nature to do. Then wherever the awareness wants to move, let it move. Trust means no interference from the thought process. Just let the nature move or do what it wants to do. And the nature will know how to move. Okay. Tipitaka Master Hua's introduction. All of the sutras are guide to use in cultivating the way. They may be spoken by the Buddha, Bodhisattvas, the Patriarchs, and also by Arahats, transformation beings, and gods. Although they serve the same purpose, the doctrine within them differ. Arahat is a Mahayana term, whereas in the Theravada tradition, it uses the word Arahan. So this is just for info. The sutras spoken by the Buddha were translated from the Indian language into Mandarin and thus worked their way into the Chinese society. In China, all the sutras are translations, with the sole exception of this present work. The Six Patriarchs Sutra, which was spoken by the great Chinese master, the Six Patriarchs. So that's the only difference. All of the Maya Sutra earlier on, when Bodhidharma came over, it was translation from Sanskrit to Mandarin. But this Six Patriarchs Sutra, because it was spoken by Six Patriarchs, it was not translated. It was still according to the Zen Master Huineng's Mandarin. Do you all know why this sutra is the sole exception? The sutra was never in the Tipitaka. This is the only teaching by Master Huineng, the Six Patriarch, that actually enjoys the same status as the sutras, which are the discourse of all Buddhas. And because of that, it does not need interpretation as it comes directly from China, the Six Patriarch. The great Master Huineng was originally an illiterate person. See, he didn't have any formal education. So don't be foolish. Don't look down upon yourself, because a lot of Buddhist practitioners tell themselves, how can I cultivate? I don't even have a formal education, or I don't even get to study in the university. So this one is a fallacy, yeah? Dhamma doesn't need any qualification. Dhamma only needs sincerity of heart, faith, and perseverance. It does not need any formal education. Education, if you develop it with understanding, then education helps. But if you don't have the understanding, education may become a stumbling block, because too much knowledge will prevent you from opening up your mind to receive the teachings. This is because you may think you are highly educated, hence you are very wise, smart, and clever. Then when the Buddha said in the sutta that all living beings were deluded and ignorant before they were enlightened, you cannot accept that. You may even say, I'm a university student and have a first class honors degree. So how can you say that I'm ignorant or I'm deluded? That may be the reason why you will not even take a look at the teaching or give it a chance. You are so egoistic and intellectual, then it is very difficult for you to have an open mind to listen to this teaching. So this one you have to bear in mind, especially the well-educated one. In the early days, I heard this Dhamma talk from the late Venerable Suvano. He said, according to the Buddha, all living beings before they are enlightened, they are all deluded and they have ignorance. They don't have wisdom. Then I felt funny thinking, this cannot be. We are all top students of our own states. We also top the faculty of our university. Then why did the Buddha say we are all ignorant and deluded? When you go to the temple, most of you can't even bow down to lower your self-esteem or your humility to pay respect to the great beings like Sakyamuni or Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. A lot of graduates tend to have this problem, but for me, it was never a problem. I can naturally pay respect. I reflected on it and I told myself that there must be a reason. Otherwise, it cannot be. For the Buddha himself is such a great being, such a wise being. The moment I read his Four Noble Truths, I knew he was the real one. No one can summarize all his understanding into just Four Noble Truths, and they are so beautiful and so wonderful. All of life, mundane and super mundane, are all inside this Four Noble Truths. I said, nobody can do that unless he's the real one. Just even at that time, I said to myself, if my nature had realized this truth, I still cannot summarize it this way unless I have heard it before and received the teaching. I decided to have an open mind and started studying the teaching. I then determined to go all out to develop the faith and the sincerity to cultivate, and I just persevered. Then as I moved into it, developed the mindfulness and heedfulness, only did I came to realize the profound meaning of what the Buddha meant by this statement, all living beings, before they are enlightened, they are deluded and full of ignorance. So this understanding is very important. Delusion here means sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion, and it points towards belief that there is an entity, a being within this so-called five aggregates of form and mind that you call the me and the I. This so-called human being, you will deludedly grasp and cling onto it because you will think you are real. When you think you are real, what happened? There is an entity created, which is the egoic mind, a personality of who you are. That's why from there on, you live and act with that personality. That's why you will have selfishness for me or not for me. Then when people threaten you or cause you unhappiness, you will have emotional negativity. That's how the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, which is basically selfishness and possessiveness, hatred and fear arise within your mind. When you deludedly grasp and cling, we are self-delusion, thinking that this form of mind is you. Delusion is fear, worry and anxiety because you don't understand. As a living being, when this delusion manifests, you will have this problem leading to suffering in the here and the now. Then after I had developed the mindfulness and the heedfulness, I came to realize that everything I have done as a person, as a human being, I had my own selfishness. It was either for me or not for me. It had nothing to do with me or benefit me. I didn't want to do. No advantage to me, to my family, to my parents, brothers and sisters, or my race, or my school, or my company, or my country. I didn't want to do. That self-delusion leading to the automatic selfish personality was always there. Do you understand? Then when you don't like certain thing, your mind reacts. Your mind develops anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, and dislike, making you feel unhappy and miserable. Then when certain thing or situation arise via delusion, you will develop fear of death, fear of things not happening the way you want them to happen, fear of the unknown, fear of the consequence of your wrong action, and whatever wrong speech that you have a reason. All these fears are due to your delusion. And because of that, I came to realize that the Buddha was indeed very wise. So every living being before their enlightenment or awakening has their inherent selfish intention, emotional negativity and fear within them. Because of that, I started to cultivate the understanding of this rather unique teaching, which is so beautiful. I felt like it was meant to be. Then I started to study what the Buddha meant by the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. How from sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion, all these things come about. Without self-delusion, clarity, there is no greed, no anger, no hatred, and no fear. And I finally managed to expand on the three evil roots, on how, on my own, to understand its deep meaning. Nobody taught me this, and the book also never write about them. Then only using the words, sorry, they only use the words, but never explain and elaborate on them. Then later on, as I reflect, contemplate, and meditate into all this via mindfulness, I could see all those very fine and subtle mind state of evil, which come back through the back door. This understanding started to stabilize. Then one day it dawned upon my nature. Sorry, I read again. Then one day it dawned upon this nature of mine, this understanding. No wonder the Buddha said living beings are deluded. They have a lot of ignorance, and because of that, they create a lot of negativity or karma. Their nature develops what they call delusion, leading to downfall. Because they cannot see things as they are, they cannot develop this understanding via connecting their mundane mind to the true mind. Because they couldn't develop the silence. They cannot develop the ability to be aware. Hence, they cannot connect to their true mind. And because of that, they cannot see things as they are. Hence, they cannot awaken to understand this teaching. And because they don't understand, they are caught in delusion and heedlessness. That's how they will continue to develop the negativity of karma, leading to downfall life after life. They don't have any chance of salvation. All this understanding will arise, and you will know how to cultivate and move. That's the reason why, without mindfulness and heedfulness, to reflect and to contemplate deep into the teaching, you cannot understand. Okay, I think we will stop here because it's 5:21 already. I will mark this page. Then we open up for meditation reporting.
Bertie, will I share 我最近的 一些 experience?
Good.
Bertie, 我上个礼拜不是讲 我一直在 repeating 听 那几个 talk.
对。
Then after that, especially 其中一个 talk 就是我的那个 我 share 讲我的那个 Monday Mind You Based Yeah. Then 你给我的那个 advice 怎样的去 accept then 那个 talk 我是 repeating 的听 then 过后我就把那些 point 哦 pointer 你给的 那些 pointer 我全部写下来哇沙丘很好下来了以后我在 repeat 听的时候我又在看着那些 pointer
Yeah.
Then 就有一天忽然间我整个能够明白那个 pointer 的意思
Yes, Sadhu 很好
Oh,
Because then, that one hasn't stabilized in you You didn't see it at that time So all this when you listen to my sharing is to move you on to the next stage next understanding Because this type of teaching and understanding you cannot just realize it so fast it takes what they call the understanding to evolve and develop that's why when you all are able to reach that point of the cultivation and when you report all those things my nature will know then I will elaborate on that then I will continue my sharing based on the likely thing that you need to develop to understand further so that you can move on and progress to stabilize those understanding, then you become very different again. Then you can move again. Very good. So the,
then 我才 realize 以前我 understand 的那个 abstract terms 只是很 surface 的 level.
Superficial. 还没有
你的那些 pointer, wow.
Yes.
It's deeper 了现在.
Yes, yes, yes.
那些 the way people they are, and then the world is what he is. 这全部
不一样的
整个的 penetrate 的这个 acceptance another further 的那个level 了
啊，那个 meaning 深了，深了哦，
你拜二在拜二你的 sharing， 你就有讲 the five way to overcome the wholesome thought 的时候，
又再不一样了。比方那个时候 I explain very clearly，
呀，非常好。我第二天我又在听，我在 repeating 听的时候。我明白那个 step 3跟 step 4
differently 了，因为以前 I just superficially mentioned it because 人家还没有入到那一段，很多人没有听进去， because to be with that mind state and realize its cessation so that the mundane mind cease and return to theTrue mind before it's stirring, that one 不容易了解的。你要真的做到了啊， then after that contemplate, reflect 了啊， you leave it, then only 你看得到，哎呦，原来是这样的。Then you will understand that they are not intrinsic within our true mind. Yes, our true mind don't have all those mind states, the fear, the insecurity,the envy, the jealousy, the unhappiness, the sorrow, they are not intrinsic. They are dependent, originating, conditioned, arising mind state. Their stirring come from wrong view. And the mundane mind created all this through delusion. That's why you will start to understand. Because when you realize, by not doing anything, let things be, you start to understand.Then that deep penetrative understanding transform you to another level of understanding, let things be. Acceptance means you accept the world as the world, people as the way they are. And that level of understanding, after you have realized that cessation of the mundane mind, to realize the true mind, that is the first stage.That is not the real cessation leading to Nibbana, but the cessation of Sankara activity, the mundane mind. Then you become very quiet. Then the awareness nature become very clear. Then you realize your true mind. Then from there, you start to develop the understanding that everything arises from there. From that true mind, the delusion stir. The mind reacts to sense experience through wrong view, conditioning.Accumulated memories, all of your mundane accumulated views, opinion, and conditioning, you start to see them. That's how the stages you will go through. Otherwise, they are just words that I describe that you think you know at the knowledge level. Then now, as you go through the five way, especially the third and the fourth way, then because you have done it before,Now, the explanation make it very clear for you to actually link up the whole thing. Then you, next time you meditate, when you really silent and be with it, like what Kok Lun De Yao went through, you see the beauty of this mindfulness, awareness. Then you realize that when you don't do anything, the third way, let things be silent, be with it.Then there is no more mental energy, wrong thought, wrong view to fit it. Then the sankhara cease to be, or initially it slow down, weaken, then return to its original state before the stirring. Then you realize it's from this silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature, that everything comes to be, everything arises. That mundane mind, the creation is from there, it all starts. And this is the most beautiful understanding.Then from there, you continue to meditate from that self nature, the true nature, the true mind. Then you start to understand the origination factor, how you stir your mind, how do you react, how people react to sense experience, through what? The wrong view, the wrong understanding. Then you will inquire. The next time I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, I tactile feel or think, how should I act?I should act with wisdom, understanding. Means, I must have the wisdom born of Dhamma cultivation, like what the Buddha said. why can't I learn to see things as they are? They are just the way they are. The world is the world. Because the Buddha said, suchness, the reality. When condition is such, things will be such. When condition is already set, phenomena will be the way it is. That's why that is the reality, suchness. Whatever that arise, that reality, we must come to terms with it. We must have the wisdom to accept the reality of that moment. The condition already set. Like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. It cannot be otherwise. So the acceptance is the first understanding, the first wisdom that shine forth. Then when we accept, we are at peace. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to stir our mind. Then we silent. Then we realize all this emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, sankara activity, they are not intrinsic within our true nature, our true mind. They are dependent, originating, exactly like what the Buddha explained under Paticca Samuppada, the dwelling. Then you start to see the link. Avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, vijnana paccaya nama rupa, how the views, opinion, and conditioning, the content of consciousness went in. These are wrong thoughts. Then how we straighten our view to perceiving things the way it is. Means through acceptance of the reality of what is. So when we do that, the mind don't have to do anything, don't have to create duality. We can accept everything just the way it is. People are just the way they are, no right, no wrong. And all this understanding will become deeper and deeper, more and more clear, more and more stable, like what you described, which is very good. Sadhu to yourself. Yeah. That's why you have to constantly listen to the Dhamma, then write it down, then develop this understanding. These are all the important pointers and notes that I advise you all. That's why when you listen attentively, you follow the instruction, you will progress very fast and accordingly. Sadhu, yeah, you continue. So, yeah.
其实 Virgil 我以前每次 你这个 The 5 way of 这个 The 5 way to overcome 这个 unwholesome thought 的这个 explanation 它 appear 在这个 Heart Sutra 里面 你的那个书的里面 两次
然后以前 You explain so detail 那一天的 talk I went into it very deep because you are ready and many other kayamita may need all this understanding already. That's why I went in and explained in much more detail and you got it where you listened to it a few times. So this is why the Dhamma is such. My nature understands and even know how to share that part which is needed by cultivator. So now you start to see all this and it starts to fall into place. And all of the understanding will start to unfold. And later on, you will understand all this. This is what Bodhisattva's teaching is all about. Bodhisattva way is all about. Yeah, it demands very, very extensive exposure to all the cultivation of living beings. Everyone is at different stages of cultivation. Everyone's understanding is different at different time and different places and conditions. Then when you have that nature that has gone through that evolved cultivation, you will know how to guide living beings, cultivate it. That's how all these things are faced. So, sadhu to you. Continue, yeah.
后来我一直在听的时候，哇，那个你 explain 那个 的那个第三个的那个 stage 就是 just let it be 的时候，哇，是很 clear. Then even 那个第四个的就是 trace the origination. 以前我每次听，你每次 explain, but 你是听，但是你不了解. But 那一天我能够了解每一个的 point.
对。对。
你的每一个 point 很 clear.
Yeah, very clear. I explained it in detail at that time. The fourth way also same. I explained it in very
detail. 我的里面一直在很 vibrating 的，一直在很
soft, 对 the joy, 的 joy。
后来你一讲到那个Sankara,
Anicca,
Sankara, Dukkha, 我好像整个人明白。
Yeah, you like penetrate inside there. Yeah.
我就想到，哎呀，我以前每次就是玩这种 game, 我每天以前我每次就在这个
Sankara play out 啊。你被他 deceive 了吗 ？deluded 吗？你去想吗？你去 analyze 吗？你去 investigate 吗？So the investigation is not the contemplative one, it's the thinking. So when you go and think about it, means reasoning. When you reason, you will get caught. You try to use your thought to justify. So all of the thinking and the analysis, why like that? Why not like that? How come the Dhamma is like that? Then you come up with your own, what they call analysis that justify your questioning. You think, why can't I question that? I don't think it's not justifiable because that question is very valid.But where did that question come from? You didn't inquire. It's still from the thought. The thought that is egoic, that has the duality and the delusion. If that question comes from the thought, then it is not relevant. That's why no amount of analysis and reasoning can solve your enlightenment cultivation problem. Cannot. It's just like psychological problem.It cannot resolve it. It cannot root it out. Maybe temporary solution. Temporary for the time being. Make you better. Like all the analysis, the reasoning, using the counseling, the thought process, the medical field. But it does not root out the delusion. It cannot free you as a human being. Because that Sakkaya Ditthi is beyond thought. Thought is egoic when it's not enlightened.So that part, living being cannot understand. So Sankara Anicca is very powerful, very penetrative. And what is Sankara? Mental activity, mental state, mundane mind, mental thinking. The consciousness and its content, the whole lot of five aggregate of my mind, the whole thought itself, which is the accumulated views, opinion, and conditioning, the memory.When you see all this clearly, then the meaning stand out. When the Buddha mentions Sabbe Sankara Anicchang, just like what you heard, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, all these things become very beautiful, very penetrating. That's how you awaken. And that one is very powerful. That one is the turning, born of the meditative training. You silence your mind, just be with it.And let the whole thing cease. Then the realization is very, very profound, very, very like penetrative. Very good. So, sadhu.
Brother, you explain 那个第四个的 trace the original factor.
那个很重要。
Very, very, 很好。我那时候在听，然后我整个 penetrate 了以后，而且我觉得我对 Dhamma 的 understanding。又不一样了
呀、yeah, 不一样了、That's why that day one the talk you all should go and transcribe it. You should get NB and Jin Hao they all to work on it. You remember what date or not?
拜二罢了
拜二罢了
The last Tuesday 我每一天都在听
Then for all our transcript you like, I tell you that one will help a lot of peopleto penetrate the Dhamma and awaken. And I get my daughter to help us. See whoever wants to come in. Do it together.
因为某天我就发现到以前我一直不能够 penetrate, 就是因为那时候你那个 understanding 只是在很 superficial 的 level 去了解那个 asset.
对。
那一天的那个 talk, 的你的那个 explanation 了以后，我很像整个人来明白了，然后我就就完全就你可以understand 那些 pointer， 你、然后我觉得我对这个 acceptance 这个 understanding， 哇，更加深入的了解哦。
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's just like that. Sharing the book is going to come out soon. Today I completed the proofreading. I told Padmasri to collect. He collected. I think they are going to send to the printer soon. So when that book come out.We will share it again, and you will understand that that was how Hui Ling awakened the student or disciple of Sun Siu who came and talked to him. He knew they were ready to develop the understanding. Then when he explained that, immediately a few of his close disciples from Sun Siu awakened because they wereclinging on to the Theravada tradition type of Sun Siu's teaching. The duality, they don't know how to break. And they cannot realize the self nature because they didn't silence the mind to let it be. So that self nature, no thought, wu nian, they cannot penetrate. That's why their Dhamma cultivation cannot go beyond thought. They are stuck.And because of that, they cannot understand and penetrate. So what Sun Siu did is take them direct to the true mind. Oh, sorry. What Hui Neng taught them is take them direct to the true mind, the silent mind, the self nature. That's why he said to speak of Dhamma apart from the self nature is like speaking of muck. So all this become very penetrative. Then later on, you transcribe that, the talk that you mentioned just now, the last Tuesday one, the whole thing come out, you will understand its deep meaning and penetrative meaning, which is the world cannot find. Very beautiful. Sadhu.
Radio 过后我去我就在看那个六祖坛经的时候然后就他有这个 part 哦、就讲到那时六祖他被神秀的那些徒弟追的时候，他躲在那个山上。
对，
这个 then one of the 那个他们的神秀的那个 disciple 他们，他有一个是以前他是将军，所以他跑很快，他第一个冲到那个山上去。
对，
他不能够拿那个袈裟跟那个钵
的，
然后他跟神秀讲 ，OK， 我现在要来跟你求法。然后那个六祖慧能他就讲，然后我就在看那个书，他只是跟他讲不思善，不思恶。但是从那个善跟恶哦，我完全的明白，哎，这个是 duality 来的。
对，
那我只是看到善跟恶，我能够 penetrate， 我讲这个是 duality 来的。我们不要有 duality， 来，你没有对，没有错。我想这些全部都是 mundane mind 来的。
对。That's why 五祖 told them instead of sorting after tinted merit, you remember tinted merit, you should come out with a stanza which shows that you have gone beyond just cultivating good, avoiding evil, and chase after tinted merit. Means,merits that have mark, these are not true merit. True merit, you must go beyond the mark of a self, of living beings, of others, and of Dhamma, everything. So, tinted merit is not the real merits. That's why all this, beyond the wholesome and unwholesome, these are all tinted merit. You must go for therealization, the true penetrative understanding, when there is no mark, then that merit is pure merit, true merit, according to enlightened beings. So all this is very beautiful. That's why that conversation between Hui Neng and that so-called Jiang Jun, that Jesus to him one, is very good, because he asked him, what did Wu Zhu transmit to him? He said, the Dhamma, the mind to mind seal Dhamma. He said, what is it? Then he mentioned, huh? So simple, is it? Yeah, basically it's so simple. That's it. What else you want? If you can understand that, you have the Dhamma. That is the mind to mind seal, the transmission. Mm.
然后我现在我在看那些 Dharma 的 book 了以后，我就 realize that 只要我们没有那个 duality 我们没有对错，你没有那个 right wrong 那些的 concept 的话，你就是在 silent 里面了的。
你 put 去分别啊，它就没这回事。分别 is by who the thought。 The thought divide, the thought discriminate, the thought create duality, the thought create all this mundane evil phenomenon. So everything that arises within the phenomenal world of consciousness and form arises from the mind. That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and my mind arises, everything arises. That's the reason why Six Patriarch, Huineng, he replied to the Fifth Patriarch after he heard the Diamond Sutra, the ultimate teaching, and that stanza on the mundane mind. He said, this is so beautiful after the Fifth Patriarch told him, this mundane mind, you must know how to use it and yet not to be deluded and deceived by it. Wow, that one was so penetrating. Then he said, how amazing that this nature, self-nature, is complete by itself. It doesn't need anything. How amazing that all Dhamma arise from this self-nature. So all this understanding becomes so beautiful because it's from that nature that all things arise. So if we cannot realize that nature, we cannot start the meditation. We cannot understand all this deep sutra or teaching or words of the Buddha of the Fifth Patriarch and the Sixth Patriarch, that they came from that silent mind, that nature. That's why recently I also went to the short video, I think yesterday my wife also overheard it. It was about the second patriarch, Hui Ke. So they were doing that sharing about how Hui Ke Duan Bi means chop off his hand to seek Dhamma from Bohi Dhamma. That one also very beautiful, very, very meaningful. So for Hui Ke, he couldn't penetrate the true Dhamma. He actually studied all the China type of teaching, the what they call Lu Jia, Xiang Fa, Kong Zi, Meng Zi, all of this, even Lao Zi, everything. He has studied them. He has become very, but he still cannot free his mind. Oh, so that's why he went and seek from Bohi Dhamma. Then that conversation between Bohi Dhamma and him also very beautiful. So during that one, when they exchange the thing, Bohi Dhamma said, you don't waste your time. I am not going to transmit the teaching to you because you cannot understand. Then Hui Ke, before he became Hui Ke, he was, I think, Seng Guang or what. He insists that he wants to seek the Dhamma. He said, unless, Bohi Dhamma used this word, unless the snow turns red, he said. So that was the hint and the condition. So when he heard that, he was so determined, he took out his that knife and he chopped off his hand, his left hand, what they call Duan Bi. Then with the blood flowing out or covered the snow in front of him, and it turned, and he told Bohi Dhamma, is this the condition that you need for you to teach me the Dhamma. So Bodhidharma say, okay, you have the resolve. Then Bodhidharma started to sit down and knew that he has found the correct disciple to transmit the mind to myself. Then he just asked this Sheng Guang, what is it you are seeking? He said, I seek the truth, I seek the Dhamma. For what? He said, to untether sin. Means his mind is not at peace. He needs the Dhamma to actually make it peaceful, develop the wisdom, the awakening, the understanding. So what did Bodhidharma transmit to him at that time was just words, but it penetrated and Hui Ke become enlightened straight away. He said, show me the mind, like ask Sheng Guang to show Bodhidharma the mind, then he will earn for him. He will make it peaceful for him. So at that instant, it was so penetrative. Sheng Guang checked using his awareness. He cannot find that mind. The mind that is not peaceful. He realized that one is from the sankhara, from the thought. Then the moment he mentioned that, Bodhidharma said, 我已经帮你安了. Means you are already peaceful. Then he realized if the mundane mind don't give rise to that duality or that wrong view or distraction to say that the mind is not peaceful, then there is no more suffering, no more what they call affliction. Affliction comes from the thought that create this delusion to say that my mind is not peaceful because there is an ego there. He still believes that form and mind is him. He still believes that mind, which is dependent originating, is real. And because of that penetrative exchange, he said, now I will give you a new name. He gave him the name Hui Ke. That's how he inherited the patriarchship and became the second patriarch. And that was also very beautiful. So all this exchange will become very beautiful when you have the penetrative understanding, which is very good. Sadhu, you have a very song.
Barbara, 我突然间明白是，哎呀，只要我们能够 understand 这个 mundane mind 的 他的那些 他的那个 characteristics 啊，
yeah.
他的那些 Barbara, 你每次讲这些 essential dharma， 其实就是让我们去了解，去 penetrate， 去 understand 这个 mundane mind。 当我们能够 understand 的时候，这个 mundane mind 就 cease 掉，就是变成 silent mind
了。对对对，就是 to realize the true mind。 那个 true mind 一定要 realize， 一定要 stabilize。 That's why the book that is coming out have that, the two mind. You have to really develop the understanding. If you cannot develop the understanding, you cannot penetrate the teaching, you cannot realize the truth. To realize the truth, you need mindfulness, awareness leading to the silent mind. Then the true awareness nature is the silent mind, and that is that nature within. And that one is not a being. That not one is not an entity that can come out and live life. No, that one is just a nature. We call it a nature, like your karmic nature, your spiritual nature, your true nature, your Buddha nature, or the original nature, the source of all things. Before anything arise, that was the beginning. That's why they call it sometimes 本来的面目, that original nature before everything arise. And some call that the source. So all these are words that people use to describe and point towards that thing. Some call it the oneness nature. But this nature is to be realized, and it can only be realized by a form of mind that has arisen through the karmic conditioning. That's why it's difficult to penetrate, because you need a form and mind to come before you can meditate to connect, to realize that nature. Other than that, you cannot. So how to cultivate? You have to be born as a living being first, with a form and mind. Then that living being, if you don't have the past, the inheritance, and the understanding, and the conditioning, and the affinity, you cannot cultivate actually. Basically, you cannot receive the Dhamma also. That's why without sasana, this is almost near to impossible. So this one, only the cultivator of the way who has gone through that stretch of cultivation and perfection can have that understanding, can really take beings across, teach, deliver, and transform living beings. So this teaching is very, very beautiful, very unique, and not easy to come by. So coming back to your this sharing, which is very good today, because you can follow and see all this, see the importance of all this and the beauty of all this, then you really went in and listened, then with the understanding, you start to share. And when you share and ask the question, which is very relevant now, because it's already with the understanding that transform you who have this ability to actually share, then my nature will know this is the beautiful timing that I need to receive all the signs that arise that I need to continue to move on with the sharing, which can be even more penetrative and deeper. So these are very beautiful unfolding, maybe meant to be, so that before the next retreat, all these books will be ready. Then when we share at the retreat, the new book and the one you mentioned, the Tuesday one, it will become very penetrative and it will open up the whole understanding again, which is very different from what we used to have. That's why all this cultivation evolve as Kayanamita force evolve, as more and more cultivators develop the understanding. Then when you all move in this way, those who are still held and caught in the thought-based meditation one, very difficult for them to catch up with you all. So now you start to understand why in the early days, since I started even 2004 that time, I realized hardly anybody can understand this teaching, and it takes so much patience and expression of what they call understanding to actually slowly, slowly come out with a skillful means and understanding to teach and lead you all slowly, slowly from what has been trapping you all to what it is nowadays. That's why I have to revert back to basic, to teach you all the basic essential Dhamma. Then from there, unravel the whole thing and bring you back to the true teaching. That's why we went one big loop. And that's how all this come to be. But it's very beautiful. It's meant to be. The last few years, especially since 2014 onward, the Bodhisattva way come about. Wow, everything becomes so different. So different. And it flows so fast. That's why that time I've been telling you all, predicting to you all, that the Kayanamita force has moved. And it's moving faster and faster and faster, which is very, very beautiful. Sadhu. Okay, you can continue, Vasant. We just cancel the fellowship. You can share for another 10 or 15 minutes, no problem.
Okay, but I think I'll continue sharing another experience. But I'm recently, because I'm recently reading the 6th of the books, I can understand the experience.
Yeah.
后来突然间我想到，原来我们那时候去我们去广州的时候，
对，
去的时候我有一个experience， 就是那个时候我们去到他躲在那个山上的那个庙，那个那个六祖他躲在那个庙，那个山上周年，所以那个庙我们到的时候，他的前面他有那个很多的 pagoda， 所以他有放他的那个他的 life story 很多连那个时候不是就那个我们的那个tour guide 叫什么好像是 Ivan 是吗？
对。
然后就你在 dish 他在做那个explanation 的时候。然后我就慢慢的一直在走，一直在看那些 picture 然后 of sudden 哇，我的眼泪一直流出来那个时候我的眼泪一直在流。那个时候我没有去 react， but 我的 thought 就讲 ，luckily 我戴太阳眼镜 ，nobody see。我没有去理他。直到我最近我一直有在 penetrate 这个 Dharma 的时候，都是从这个六祖慧能的这些 conversation 里面的 understanding， 我就想到应该是我跟他有 affinity。
Yeah, you affinity because this 六祖坛经is a very powerful teaching. That's why not until the arising of the six patria.The true Mahayana teaching cannot take off. That's why Bodhidharma predicted, he said, lie low, wait until the six patria arise. Then all this teaching will become different. That's why Buddhism start to flourish again when six patria arise. Because six patria brings the teaching to another level, which is very different. It brings...people to the true mind. Just now when I was sharing the second patria and the Bodhidharma, I forgot this part. What I want to share was this. He used a Mandarin word which is very powerful because Bodhidharma told Sen Guang before he became Hui Ke, the second patria. He said, the Mahayana teachings that he bring to mainland China is a different teaching. He said, that teaching, I can't really remember the Mandarin word, is something like, you must 见性成佛. No, 自子人心 one is different. 见性成佛. Because that teaching is...to realize that true nature. When you realize that true nature, that is your Buddha nature. 见性成佛. That's why without having the ability to penetrate that true nature, to realize that true mind, you cannot become enlightened. And in that description, 见性 means realize your true nature. Even the fifth patria also told Hui Ning, he who can realize a true nature is a great being, is a Buddha. That's a 见性成佛. So that teaching is different because it's beyond the normal Pariyatti teaching, thought-based.Dharma base or the 文字 type of teaching. This one is to take you direct to the true mind. 见性成佛. So that one is very penetrative and very important. So 见性 is very important. 不生不灭. When you realize that nature which is 不生不灭.That is the real cessation. That 见性 you have to penetrate. Initially realize it, then use it to meditate, then it will lead to the cessation, the enlightenment, nibbana, and all those things. So this Mahayana teaching that Hui Ning brought to the world is very different. That's why it's very penetrative. It caused the Dhamma to arise again, to flourish again. Before winning, the real Buddhist teaching was not easy to comprehend. Only the patriarch can understand. Apart from the patriarch, very few. But after winning, the teaching flourished. It became very different. That's why you, for your case, Song, you have affinity with this Liu Chu Tan Xing's teaching. That's why it can give you those Gan Ying, your tears that flow. And we make that trip was so beautiful, the Six Patriarch trip. All the temple, since his birthplace onward until where he renounced and how he come back to his hometown and set up the temple, everything. It was so beautiful. We visited them all. And it's like meant to be. So many things happened. Then there was one temple where after we make offering, you remember? Then the person in charge at Mount saw that we are so sincere. He said, since you all came from Malaysia so far and you all are so sincere, why not you visit the stupa at the back where I think Xu Yun, was it Xu Yun or Six Patriarchs? All the whatever historical thing that they were able to salvage, they were all there. Then we went and we did the chanting, everything. That's how it's meant to be. Normal visitors will not be able to visit because they were not told about this place and it's not open to everybody. But because he saw that we were so different, so sincere, he decided to let us visit. That's why we all went up there and we did the chanting around the stupa too. And we saw the life history, everything so beautiful inside there. So all that happened is like meant to be. So it's beautiful. And so sadhu. Yeah, your affinity with Six Patriarch Liu Chu Tan Xing is very true. Yes.
Yeah. That's why, Rudy, 我最近在看回他的书, 我了解了, 这个 Monday Mind 了以后, 我才发现到, 我的 cultivation 才要正式的开始, 进入 another 的那个, level, 所以那个 understanding 又要 another 的, another 的那个,
Yeah, because this phase, song you listen, this phase is going to give you the stability, the stability of understanding. Then after that, you need to reflect and contemplate on the understanding again, so that you can come up with your own understanding, and later on you can evolve a new understanding also based on what you understand. Then it is not like the teaching that is recorded only. It's just like what I share with you all this line a lot. I never learned this line, but it's from my past. Then I pass it on. That's why all this teaching that is recorded in our website and all those things, this is going to be very, very rare and unique. It's a real gem for cultivator of the way in later years to come. Because these are not in the books, not in the commentaries and all these things. These are all very penetrative Dhamma understanding of the Bodhisattva way. So you will also have that ability later on. That's why now is a phase where this awakening and understanding will stabilize your understanding. Then later on, you will start to realize that you can express them out already. You can share. And when you share, it's different from last time already. It's not knowledge anymore. You don't try to remember anything. If the thing is there, it's there. Like I explained, you need so much scar. When it's there, it will arise. When it's not there, it will not arise. So all this, you will start to experience. Then you will start to develop all the understanding along the way. And this is how Bodhisattva went through the training. Because as they progress, they develop more and more understanding. Then when they are exposed to more and more of this various cultivators' way, they also evolve their own understanding. Then they look back, they will inherit their past. And because of what they have cultivated before the long period of eons and eons of cultivation, that understanding will come back and become very useful. That's why this nature of mine, this life when it comes, a lot of things that I share with you all and taught you all, I never learned this life. My teacher never teach me. They all teach me different things. And what I receive are just truth that I need to use to penetrate my past understanding and inherit them. Then most important, of course, is my last guide when he activated my nature and showed me where the gateway is. I cut short my training, my practice, by at least 10 to 15 years. And that's why after that, my nature become very different than I inherited. Then everything come back. That's why after that 1989-90, a lot of things just happened. And during that time, there was so much happening inside the nature. And you will go through as you move. Don't worry, so I work on Sadhu.
Sadhu, very dear. Yeah.
Mm. 还有什么? So maybe we can stop here. Then we to do the transcript, get Jin Hao, Sui Nemo together in video, then get the audio out and do it. So that one is very useful. So after that, you can continue to maybe take some note of what you want to share in the next session. Yes, this session is out of time. So next session, I will allow more time because we also end late. Then you can share more. Sadhu to you.